live from the middle of America in the middle of the freaking night. Welcome aboard. It's the Monday night edition of the Midnight Rider. How are you? My name is Mike Chambers. Glad you're with us for the program. I nearly missed doing the program. I was over here reading an article, getting really into what I'm reading, and I look up and it's like, oh, it's time to do a show. Wait a minute. Gotta go. But it's good to be here. We got lots of information for you tonight. Michael Berger with 911truth.org is going to be with us tonight. He's also the director and producer of a movie called Improbable Collapse, which in my opinion is probably the most underrated movie regarding 9/11 and how the Twin Towers came down and Building 7. And it's a great piece of work. We're going to talk to Michael here in just a couple of minutes about a new Zogby poll that's out regarding a new 9/11 investigation. And that 51% of the population, according to this poll, supports a new investigation. So we're going to get into that here after the break for the first hour. Then in the second hour, we'll have news. Ron Paul was on Bill O'Reilly's show tonight. We'll have you the audio for that for you as well. And, of course, O'Reilly. What is the deal with these Fox people? I mean, they will not let anybody get in a sentence. And that was the same case tonight with Ron Paul and Bill O'Reilly. And so we'll get into that and more. And the other news, plus your phone calls here tonight at 800-313-9443. That is 800-313-9443. The chat room is open. Just go to my website at midnightwritershow.com. That's midnightwritershow.com. And just click on the chat link and go in there and grab that, and boom, you're in. And just pick a nickname, and you're chatting with us right there. Also, my email link is there. If you got any thoughts or suggestions about the program, feel more than free to use that. I love feedback, show ideas, article ideas that you get. You have information, guest ideas as well, and I get a lot of those. And some of the guests that have been on here has been as a result of those suggestions, and I really appreciate it. And some of those are people I'm actually still working on to try to get on here. And tomorrow night on the show, Ted Pike is going to be with us. I know he's been on a lot lately, but what we're doing is keeping Ted kind of in the loop with us here. That any time they could put up for a vote these two hate crime bills that have been going through the Congress, both in the Senate and I think the House too. And so we'll get an update tomorrow night from Ted Pike in the first hour as well tomorrow night. Plus, we're going to talk about what's going on in Israel and in Palestine. Stuff over there, it's wrong. I mean, it's just all wrong. And plus probably his take on, you know, what's going to happen with the Middle East as a whole if he sees it totally blowing up. And so we'll have him on tomorrow night. Then Wednesday night probably going to be open lines, and the rest of the week is still an open book at this point. So we will just have to see. So, and we'll just have to see what's going to happen from that standpoint. So, and so we got a break coming up here in just a couple of minutes, and we'll come back on the other side and speak with Michael Berger, and the number that we'll be using is 800-313-9443. That'll be the number that we'll have. I think Michael was dialing in actually my cell phone as opposed to the other number. So he's going to call on that number there, and we'll get him on here in just a minute. But glad to be here. Hope everybody had a great weekend. I know Alex Jones got to experience a little jail time on Saturday night. We'll talk about that a little bit too in the second hour. That and oh so much more right here, right on the Midnight Rider, up Broadcasting Network.
Introducing the new Blueprint Water Unit. This one-of-a-kind water technology uses natural frequencies to clean harmful toxins from your drinking water. We start with one of the best four-stage reverse osmosis systems. Then we retrofit the Blueprint Water System with twin vortices. This primary technology is designed to clear harmful water memory. We then imprint Blueprint frequencies harmonic to the human body. This is the only known living water recreated by live essence infusion. According to reports from users, the water helps balance the body's internal pH, Others have said the water has helped promote weight loss through detoxification. This water is so good, your body begins to crave its healthy input. For more information, call Natural Solution toll-free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. Once again, that's 866-885-6625.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Hi, this is Brother Michael Diamond. You can now get the most important package ever on what has happened to the Catholic Church in the last 50 years. Find out how this massive crisis concerning the Catholic Church happened, what happened, and how the Bible predicted it would take place in the last days. The package contains six DVDs that contain 10 different programs, two books that combined are over 1,000 pages and other information. Order now at our website, mostholyfamilymonastery.com. That's mostholyfamilymonastery.com. The last word monastery is spelled M-O-N-A-S-T-E-R-Y, or call us at 1-800-275-1126. That's 1-800-275-1126. Or mail in your order to us at 4425 Schneider Road, Fillmore, New York, 14735. The total cost for this massive package of information is only $10, $15 for UPS Ground, or $30 outside the U.S.
Monday night here on the Midnight Rider program with Mike Chambers, and it is my privilege at this point in time to welcome this program here for the first time, but I think it's my third or fourth time interviewing him. He's one of my favorite interviews, one of my favorite people to talk to. Michael Berger, he's the media director of 911truth.org, and he is also the director and producer and bottle washer, night janitor, and everything in the movie Improbable Collapse. That is actually a huge movie that I was, as I was saying before the break, is probably, in my opinion, the most underrated 9/11 film that's been produced. It doesn't get a lot of the hoopla that a lot of other movies get, but this movie is top-notch. Dr. Stephen Jones is in it. Kevin Ryan is in it. A journalist who was there on the morning of 9/11 is in it. And this is an exceptional movie, and something that if you get an opportunity to go and take a look at this movie, you should. Michael, how are you this evening?
Great. How are you doing, Mike?
I'm doing superb. It's good to talk to you. How you been?
Great, great. Good talking with you, too, again.
Yeah. You guys did a poll with 911truth.org and the Zogby Group. What was kind of the impetus behind doing this poll? And we'll get into what all the poll dealt with and all that kind of stuff. Kind of tell us about the mindset there about doing a poll to find out people's thoughts about 9/11.
Well, it began a few years ago. We did the first poll in New York City in 2004 to find out what New York City residents thought. And then last year we did the first national poll with Zogby, and we wanted to see how the numbers had changed a year later. So we wanted to do a follow-up this year, and we also wanted to include questions regarding impeachment as well. So that was the impetus for the for the recent Zogby poll.
Oh, excellent, excellent. So what were the results from last year?
Well, not so surprising. The numbers continue to grow. Amazingly, actually, 67% of respondents in the poll faulted the 9/11 Commission for not investigating the collapse of World Trade Center 7. Those are some huge numbers. So we also found that just over half, 51% of Americans, want Congress to probe Bush and Cheney's involvement in the 9/11 attacks. And 30% of those want immediate impeachment, 30% of the people polled. And that was based on the way the question was worded, based on their knowledge, based on their direct knowledge. So the phrasing of that question may not have been that great. But the numbers are up year over year, so more and more Americans are coming to doubt and question the official story. And it seems that more and more people want the truth. They don't believe what they've been told as the justification for everything that has changed since 9/11.
Are you surprised that it's taken 6 years to get half of the population to come to the point where they realize that, well, maybe we need to look at this again?
You know, not really. When you consider some of the factors that we're up against, and you consider that we do not have any mainstream media putting the dots together, connecting them, presenting the information in context, publicizing some of the real, just enormous anomalies, you know, like Norman Mineta's testimony, which contradicted Dick Cheney's time that the commission put him in the Presidential Emergency Operations Center under the White House, that raised issues about how much and what the military knew about Flight 77, the plane that supposedly hit the Pentagon, Norman Mineta's testimony, which really came very early on in the commission hearings and really wasn't paid very much attention until, you know, after the report came out and you look at the contradictions and the conflicts within testimony. They left Mineta's testimony out entirely. So, no, I think, you know, if the media would have done their job and would have raised these questions, which was impossible in the aftermath of 9/11. I mean, anybody who raised any questions, the representatives and people in Congress, any of them who stood up and questioned the Patriot Act, were immediately corralled as unpatriotic and sympathetic terrorist sympathizers. So I think, you know, without the machinery of media helping us, I think this enormous undertaking, I think we've actually come pretty far in 6 years, considering also just the implications of what it means when you look into this and you question the story that your government has told you and how everything has changed based on this story. The implications of looking into it and raising questions and doubting it are widespread, because as you look into it, you learn a lot more about the hidden history of this country than you were ever taught in school. That's for certain. So, and it's a very uncomfortable topic for people to question. And in the culture of fear, where the government and the media continually try to use fear to manipulate people to basically submit to an ever-expanding executive branch and a government that's unaccountable to the people, I think actually the numbers are phenomenal in light of some of those facts, because really most people have never been exposed to many of these facts. They still buy the rhetoric that the mainstream media spins, that these questions are raised by, quote, conspiracy theorists, and they're just a small fringe group. And what the Zogby polls show is that this is not some small fringe group, but a growing chorus of people, of Americans, who want the truth and can handle the truth.
Yeah, you know, and I think the surprising thing, too, that my first thought when I read this poll, and you come up with numbers of half of people in this country, in the fact that this was done with people with regular landline telephones, I'm assuming here, and if that's the case, that basically is going to trend to, you know, mainly older folks and people who tend to be home when these people call, which totally negates, for the most part, those people that support Ron Paul, who are totally on the internet and hacking everything.
Well, and that raises, you raise another issue there too, which is also, I mean, if basically the median age of the people in the poll, the older people, many of the older people don't even have computers.
Right. So they've not heard any of this information about 9/11 as an inside job or anything like that. You just got people just acting out of pure common sense.
Yeah, and I mean, the other issue, I mean, it would be nice to actually know how many of these people became aware of the issue from either events in their area and or being handed DVDs. Because I get calls all the time from people who've been handed a DVD, and a few days later they're kind of coming up from air after reading more and researching more about it, and they're just in shock that it's taken that long for them to find this out.
Yeah, because it's a shocking little paradigm buster, for sure.
I'm just looking at the demographics. It looks like out of the almost 1,000 people polled, more than two-thirds of them were over 35. And when you start looking at the demographic breakdowns on some of these questions, it's incredibly interesting. The under 30 category, basically, people under 30 just don't buy the official story, and that would jive with people who've grown up using the internet, who go out and find news on their own and make up their own mind, as opposed to people who are still getting their news from either the newspapers or television. So that, and also that minorities are also much, much more inclined to doubt the official story.
You know, and I have been told that by a number of people, that the minorities, more and more of them seem to know what's up. I just haven't figured out yet why they're not more involved. But that seems to be something that jives with what other activists and people around the country have told me.
Well, you know, getting involved involves overcoming a great deal of personal fear. I mean, we hear from people all the time who, you know, they don't want to sign a petition because they're afraid of that there'll be repercussions from the government because their name is on a petition, or, you know, if you stand up that you're going to be the one who's going to get knocked down. So I think that's also important. That's one of the real important factors in forming these local grassroots groups that people do on their own, because it shows people that it's safe to stand up and to speak out. And I think it sets a really good example for people to get involved in the way to plug in their local community with other like-minded people.
Oh yeah, most certainly. How many calls do you get a day from or a week from people that have got questions because of a DVD they've sent?
Well, I mean, we have a central number, and then all of the steering committee members have their phone numbers published on the website. Right. So it seems to vary depending on whose number they happen to pick at the time. Right. But generally in a month, I would say several hundred calls a month in total by everybody involved in on the steering committee. And that's not counting emails. Both
right.
Pro and con,
yeah,
by the way.
and you consider that a small percentage of people who actually
absolutely.
Are going to pick up the phone, yeah.
Well, and you also consider, 911truth.org is one website literally among, at this point, hundreds of thousands, if not millions.
Right. Yeah, that is incredible. We're going to grab a quick break here. Our guest tonight is Michael Berger. He's the media director of 911truth.org. And also the director and producer of the movie Improbable Collapse. We're talking about a brand new Zogby poll that says 51% of Americans favor a brand new investigation on 9/11. We'll talk more about it. Let's talk some about Michael's movie when we come back on the other side. This is The Midnight Rider here on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line.
Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Attention, this is an RBN Financial News Bulletin. Have you ever wanted to get out of debt? Maybe even make some of your debts disappear completely? If so, and you're an RBN listener, there is a very real chance you will be able to do it. Here is why. A new manual has just been published that reveals how you can get out of debt in 90 minutes without any loans or bankruptcy whatsoever. The insider secrets revealed allow you to get out of debt so fast and so completely that it makes some people feel like they're stealing. But they're not stealing. The secrets taught in the manual are 100% legal and 100% ethical. It's just that bankers, debt collectors, and credit card companies don't want you to know about these loopholes. Don't be a prisoner of debt. Go to outin90.com. That's www.outin90.com or call 877-327-0365. RBN listeners receive a free DVD with purchase.
Stand up and be counted. Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist Bush's impending unjust attack against Iran. George W. Bush lied to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iraq. Now he is lying to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iran. The Catholic and Protestant clergy have failed miserably to come out publicly against the upcoming unjust attack of Iran. Therefore, the lay Catholics and Protestants should demand of their respective clergies to take a righteous public stand against this upcoming Iranian unjust war. Each one of us will render to God a strict account of what each of us did to stop these diabolical tyrants like George W. Bush, who, as roaring lions, go about the world seeking whom to murder. For additional facts concerning this upcoming Iranian unjust war, order the one-hour lecture by Father John Martinez entitled Stand Up and Be Counted. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on the web banner for more information and ordering.
Back here on the Midnight Rider on the Republic Broadcasting Network. My name is Mike Chambers. Our guest tonight is Michael Berger. He's the media director of 911truth.org and also the maker of a fine, fine movie. And I recommend if you haven't seen it, it's a great tool because it deals with scientific evidence. It shows some great stuff with regarding NIST and their tests with the steel. Michael, you, with that... I think you're about the only one who's had that information in a movie. Am I correct?
That focuses specifically on NIST's studies and playing with the data. I don't know that anybody's quite looked into it the same way.
No. And I think you took a unique look, and I think people you got in the movie were top-notch. So the website for the movie is improbablecollapse.com, right?
Yeah.
Yep. Okay. See, my memory's not failing. I thought I had.
No. You got it.
I thought I had CRS there for a minute. Can't remember stuff.
You have the flight version. Okay.
One thing I am surprised about, because I mean, for many people who've been active and who've been looking at 9/11, the questions of Building 7 and pushing that piece of information forward to people, that seems to be. That information going out seems to be successful at this point because the questions regarding Building 7 up from 38% last year. I think that's a pretty big deal.
Well, it's huge. And also, when I was touring with the film, the largest, you know, everywhere I went, I would ask how many people after the film screened had seen or were aware of Building 7. And the shocking highest number of people who had never seen it was in Keene, New Hampshire, at Keene State College, which It was the night of a storm. There were like 200 plus people in the auditorium, and 70% of them had not seen or were never saw or heard of or knew about Building 7. And I mean, to this day, there are still people who lived and worked in Manhattan who aren't even aware of the collapse of Building 7. So it seems to be when people become aware of it and they see it for the first time, that certainly opens up their eyes and their minds. I remember my wife's reaction the first time she saw it. I mean, she literally turned pale. The blood drained from her face. She was in shock. She said, how can they make a building disappear in the middle of Manhattan and nobody even knows about it? Now, this was years ago. So, and that's, you know, to this day, the same reaction you see in people's faces when they're watching the film. It's just utter shock.
Yeah, you know, and I saw a piece of ABC footage. Here, I guess I had Burmese and Avery on the program one night, and we were talking about it. I had seen it earlier that evening, and it shows it from another angle. Building 7 coming down, and you can see, you know, where most everybody has that CBS footage of the long shot. This is kind of a closer shot, and it's kind of off to the side, and you can see that penthouse really drop,
mm-hmm.
and then the rest of the building comes down with it. It's not, you know, it's classic controlled demolition. And there's no way that you can get away from it. I mean, it was absolutely incredible when I saw this from that angle. I'm thinking, oh my gosh, why isn't this in more videos?
Well, and now you even have Dr. Quintier, who was NIST's former fire science division chief, basically coming out and saying, look, you know, these government reports, they need peer review. I mean, he's even raising questions now. So you've also had the formation in the last year of architects and engineers for 9/11
right.
Truth, with Richard Gage and now accredited architects and engineers around the country and around the world speaking out and standing up. So now there are, you know, credentialed scientists and people in their field of expertise who've looked at this and are basically laying their livelihoods and their reputations on the line to stand up and raise these questions. So, there's no longer the ability for the other side to claim that, you know, these people are just some minor fringe group of lunatics when you've got these scientists standing up and saying, no, buildings don't come down like this, and the government hasn't explained it, and how is it that this isn't being investigated? How is this mm-hmm. being just swept under the carpet and ignored? It can't
be. And it certainly doesn't hurt when these architects and engineers have a full set of blueprints to work with as well.
Yeah, well, and look how long it took for us to get the blueprints, for example, of the North Tower. It's almost, once again, 6 years. So everything, when you begin to look at the details with 9/11, everything has taken forever to come out. And that's part of the tactic. It's just like the CIA Inspector General report. I mean, what'd they wait, over 2 years before they released that? So by the time they release it, not only is it old news, but nobody covers it.
Right, and everybody who would be affected by it is gone.
Right. Right. Well, you know, George Tenet gets a Medal of Honor.
He's half of the deal.
So, yeah, I mean, that's just the way it works. They did the same thing with scapegoating the FAA. You know, at the 9/11 Commission, they basically blamed the FAA, and the FAA was basically saying during the hearings, the 9/11 Commission hearings, you know, look, if we were told or we were warned in advance that, you know, bin Laden might do this, we would have had a better chance of preventing the attacks. That was what the FAA was testifying to in June of 2004. And then after the November 2004 election in January or February of 2005, the information comes out and is reported in the mainstream media that the FAA had specific information that bin Laden was going to attempt unconventional hijacking. They knew.
Yeah, but the protocols on how to get planes in the air had totally changed at that time, too. Back in a minute, we're talking with Michael Berger. He's the media director of 911truth.org. Back in just a second, if you want to join us, 800-313-9443 is the number.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Attention RBN listeners who have trouble sleeping. If you have tried everything and still have serious problems getting a good night's sleep, then this message is going to be the single most important one you'll ever hear. And here's why. 77 RBN listeners are needed immediately to test a new alternative method of falling asleep fast. And the best part is, this new sleep system produces dramatic results when everything else has failed, including prescription sleeping pills. You see, it works in a whole new way, utilizing special sleep frequencies to almost command your brain to fall asleep fast. And it's easy to use. Yet, because the rules governing medicine in the U.S., no health or healing claims can be made for the sleep system. However, it's still legal to own this new high-speed sleep generator, and 77 RBN listeners are invited to use this system first, before the general public. So, if you're really having trouble falling asleep, simply go to www.highspeedsleep.com. That's highspeedsleep.com, or call 877-327-0365 and tell the operator you listen to RBN. Again, that's 877-327-0365.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
Catholic priest calls on Catholics and Christians to resist an unjust attack against Iran. Father John Martinez, a Catholic priest, speaks out to declare the Catholic Church's true teaching, that it would be a mortal sin for Catholic soldiers to attack Iran. In a one-hour lecture, Father John Martinez warns about the Jewish plot to rule the world and to use the United States to ignite the flames of World War III by its satanic plan to unjustly attack Iran. He exposes that George Bush is Jewish and how Congress is controlled by the Jews. Father John Martinez gravely warns of nuclear weapons being used by the United States and the threat of the possible end of the world. For additional information on how you can help stop World War III, order Father John Martinez's CD entitled An Unjust Attack on Iran, available for $10 by Father John Martinez. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for the address.
The world today seems absolutely crackers, with nuclear bombs to blow us all sky high. There's fools and idiots sitting on the tree. It's depressing and it's senseless, and that's why. I like Chinese. I like Chinese. They only come up to your knees, yet they're always friendly and they're ready to please. I like Chinese. I like Chinese. There's 900 million of them in the world today. You'd better learn to like them. That's what I say. I like Chinese.
Back here on the Midnight Rider. John, who does that song? Monty Python. Yeah, I knew it had a familiar ring to it. Monty Python's Flying Circus. What a great show. Most Americans do not get that program, but it's a great...
Yes, it is.
Little English. Yeah, I watched it as a kid and used to laugh my rear end off. I guess I got it because I'd spent a number of months around a lot of English people, and that was, I guess I was able to pick up the humor. That, and I was a major Doctor Who fan. Did you ever watch Doctor Who?
Absolutely.
Oh, you got to. Got to. You know, Michael, we alluded to this quickly during the break about the legitimacy of this poll. You know, in many instances, if it was from another company, this poll would be called into question, you know, almost immediately. But the fact that this is a Zogby poll, I mean, this is the same people that Fox News uses. There's no way to call this an illegitimate poll.
No, not at all. I mean, they
you know, we struggle each year as we do the poll. We go back and forth with them over the questions. They don't just accept our questions. They will reformulate, reword them, and we go back and forth. So no, not at all. And they're a very well respected firm in the field.
What's the timeline from the time that you go to them and say this is what we want to do to their time they're actually doing the poll? How long did that take?
Generally 3 weeks.
Well, that's not bad.
No, they're very, very fast.
Wow. And the data turnaround, is it pretty quick too? Or
oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, we only asked 5 questions. They sprinkle it in among other polls, and yeah, they turn it around very quickly, give you the demographic breakdown and the details, which we have published on the website with the poll, so people can look at that information themselves as well.
That's very, very cool. Yeah, so there's no way to say that, hey, this is trumped up numbers. I mean, even Geraldo Rivera can't flip his middle finger at this bad boy.
Well, and I wanted to mention that, you know, the owner of Zogby Sr. is actually a member of the Council on Foreign Relations, no less. So, I'm sure he's real popular in the meetings when these come out.
Oh, I'm sure they're not, you know. But but anything for a buck. Hey, they're a paying customer. What am I to do? For a lot of, you know, I've said this twice now. I think your movie's probably the most underrated film regarding 9/11 that's out there. It's carefully researched. And everything. You made this film about a year and a half ago?
A year ago. Came out a year ago at the end of September.
That's right. And it's called Improbable Collapse for people that aren't familiar with it. And tell a little bit about the movie, kind of your methodology, you know, and how you researched it, and basically, you know, the high points that you hit in the movie.
Sure. Well, the idea for the film actually arose from two events. One was meeting Dr. Stephen Jones, physics professor formerly with Brigham Young University, who got himself into hot water by writing a paper and posting it on the Internet regarding questions of why the towers collapsed. And eventually this led him down the path to try to get steel samples from the Ground Zero site to test for evidence of controlled demolition. And the other event was the director of photography, John Gannon, suggested that we do a film on the demolition, and I had been hesitant to do one because at the time when we were talking about it, we were working on a different project, and there at that point had not been any credentialed scientists or physicists or architects who had come out. And one of the things I told him is, you know, the day we have a physicist who comes out that we can go interview, we'll do the project, and literally the next week, Stephen Jones' paper appeared on the Internet, and I called him up and asked for an interview, and he graciously granted the interview, and that's how this particular project began. And actually, you know, I don't really ever talk about this much, but I was able to assist Professor Jones in obtaining 2 of the 3 metal samples that he tested. He eventually tested 3 samples that were from all independent sources from different locations, and all 3 of the samples came up with the same results, which was that thermite was involved in the corrosion of the samples that he had tested. And frankly, there's no possible alternative explanation for the corrosion. And as we mentioned in the film, I mean, even FEMA, the first federal agency that looked into this, acknowledged that they had recovered eroded samples, and the corrosion was due to sulfidation, which was, as they stated, they couldn't explain it, required more investigation. So they've acknowledged it, and what they found tallied basically with what he found. So, you know, the people who want to question any of the testing that was done or dismiss it, I mean, at this point now, when you have, you know, the former fire science division head coming out and saying, look, this needs to be peer reviewed, this whole thing is questionable, there's now some people with some pretty heavy duty credentials and backgrounds who are saying, no, this doesn't make sense. So, that's how the project came about, and we approached it from the point of view that, look, this was 9/11 attacks were an event that changed everything, and pretty much everyone around the world was glued to the television, watched the towers come down repeatedly, and yet these towers, these steel towers that collapsed that day, especially Building 7, which was a conventional steel-framed skyscraper, when you have these in cities across the country, you would think it would be really important to find out how these buildings failed. This was what Fire Engineering Magazine and the fire engineering people in New York were, you know, immediately questioning why the evidence, why the debris was being hauled off and destroyed. You don't throw out the physical evidence. It's a crime scene. Mayor Giuliani knew that, being a former prosecutor. It was a violation of laws at every level. And yet, you know, a great, great amount of the steel was carted off and recycled before it was tested. But even with that being the case, what we show in the film is that even with the studies of the assemblies that were built to the same specs that were tested, and that the steel samples that were pulled to check what temperatures they had reached, what they had found is that the temperatures of the actual steel samples they pulled from impact zones that were supposed to be representative never reached temperatures anywhere near what would be required to melt or soften steel. And there's a whole great deal of controversy around that because basically, Underwriters Laboratories denied that they ever tested the original steel that went in the towers. When Kevin Ryan was an employee at one of their water divisions, he was a manager, the president of the company came and visited that location and had told the employees there that they should be proud of their work at UL because the building stood as long as they did and that they had tested the steel. But, of course, Port Authority and UL later denied nobody could ever come up with the tests. But even the subsequent tests done on behalf of the government investigation by Underwriters Lab showed that the steel samples, even those that were not covered with fireproofing, would have withstood the intensity of the fires. And, I mean, even NIST stated that in their final report on the towers. Now, we're still waiting for their final report on Building 7. They keep postponing it indefinitely. They just can't seem to get their act together to explain how that building collapsed in the manner it did, which is, you know, once again, pretty curious. But I think, you know, one of the reasons that, you know, as you've been saying, it's not a flashy film because basically we come at it from a scientific point of view. We don't point fingers. We don't name names. The issue is, how did these buildings come down? That's really what the focus is. And relate it to the way our republic has been changed by these events. Right. And then if we don't know the truth behind these events, maybe we should question why it is that we have to sacrifice the very liberties that we were being told were the reason that we were attacked.
And, you know, and it just makes you also wonder, too, that if you've got scientific empirical data that says this still didn't fail, yet you still report that the steel failed, it makes one wonder how deep the conspiracy is and how deep the cover-up actually goes, not only inside the halls of government, but outside as well.
Well, you know, government contracts and money have a lot to do with 9/11 at every angle you look at it. And, of course, it just so happens that the experts trotted out on the various documentaries on Discovery and History Channel, the first people to do the investigations for the government, for FEMA and NIST, were the same people who did the studies on the Oklahoma City building and made statements and claims without even examining the rubble there, which was similar to what happened in New York. They also, in terms of what happened in New York with the towers, many of these same individuals, engineers who are involved in the investigations for on behalf of NIST and the government also wrote conflicting reports for clients such as Port Authority, for the insurance companies, and for Larry Silverstein. In some cases, these people came up with, in some cases, three different explanations for the collapse of the building, depending on who was paying them for the study. So this is something that needs to be brought to light as well. I mean, how objective is science when it's shaped by who's paying the bill?
Do you know if there's been any insurance and company investigations into the tower collapses?
You know, not really. In fact, I know that there was a, I think one of the 9/11 publishers actually became a stockholder and went to the stockholders meeting of one of the insurance companies to try to urge them to investigate. But no, they didn't investigate. No, not going to happen. I mean,
well, of course, yeah.
And people question, well,
and Kroll and all those people.
Right. And the other side of that, too, is, you know, many people say, well, you know, look, these guys had stood to lose billions of dollars. Why wouldn't they try to investigate? Well, that's one side of the story. The other side of the story is after 9/11, the price of insurance skyrocketed.
Right.
If you look at their current profits compared to what they were the year prior to 9/11 or before that, you'll see that these companies are not hurting, that the rise in premiums more than made up for the losses on 9/11. And, you know, if you start to look at some of their interconnections with Wall Street, with the big money banks on Wall Street, with the SEC, et cetera, you know, we still don't know who was behind the insider trading that took place on the world's financial markets, being that these people were in, you know, risk management and auditing. They would know how to hedge their risk. They were in the perfect position. So, I mean, that's a possibility that has never been investigated because we still have never gotten to the bottom of who benefited from some of these trades.
Yeah, you know, because, Michael, I've always believed that two crimes occurred that day. One was were the planes hitting the towers, and second was the subsequent insurance fraud with the controlled demolition of the buildings. I've always believed that.
You know, and it's, you know, it's there's so much material when it comes to looking at some of these details. I got an email today from somebody who had written about one of the overlooked stories that isn't mentioned very much, which had to do with the potential for the planes to have been remotely controlled. Apparently before, I think within 4 or 5 months before 9/11, in a public press release, Raytheon had developed technology that enabled the remote controlling of planes. And it just so happens, and this gentleman pointed out that at Cooperative Research and in Mike Rupert's book, Crossing the Rubicon, they both document and mention how many high-level Raytheon employees died on the planes that happened to work for the division that developed this technology. And then in talking with Janice, the executive director today, she reminded me that Raytheon had an office on the 92nd floor of Tower 2. Now,
wow.
91 was supposed to be the cutoff for the ability to exit the building. Anybody above 91 in the Tower 2 basically wasn't able to get out. And yet,
right,
there's no record of anybody from the Raytheon office on floor 92 dying. And then you look at, for example, John Deutsch, who was formerly with the CIA, was a director, and to this day is a director at Raytheon. He also sits on the board of Citigroup, which was prosecuted for illegal money laundering back in the 90s. This same gentleman, John Deutsch, when he was at CIA, was investigated for basically stealing classified information. He was downloading it onto his home insecure personal computer. It turns out that there's a pattern here. When he worked at the Pentagon, apparently in 98, he was also accused of stealing classified data at the Pentagon. And then even more bizarre, it turns out that Mr. Deutsch was pardoned by Bill Clinton. So
what a tangled web.
He was never tried for the improper handling of classified material at the CIA. When the Pentagon asked him for the disks that he, quote, misplaced, he said he didn't know where they were. Which, you know, would seem to put John Deutsch at the center of having a great deal of inside information and being able to profit from it. In fact, another odd fact is apparently Raytheon stock that calls financial bets that their stock would rise. These calls were purchased the day before 9/11 at like 6 times the normal volume. And when the market finally opened after 9/11, in one day, their stock went up 50%.
Well, Michael, I had a conversation with an American Airlines employee about a year ago down in Dallas, and he was based out of Tulsa. And I looked at him point blank. I said, let's talk about the chip
He said, what chip are you talking about? I said, the chip that will allow for remote control handling of the of a Boeing aircraft. He just looked at me and grinned and turned around. He knew what I was talking about, but wouldn't say anything.
Well, you know, an open congressional hearing before 9/11, Raytheon, there was testimony before Congress where they were basically extolling the virtues of this new technology as an anti-hijacking technology.
Right.
So that if the planes were ever hijacked with the use of this technology, they could make sure that the planes could be safely grounded and landed. Now, that technology can be used for controlling the planes in other ways as well. But, of course, at the time, we were told that the government didn't have, or the airline industry didn't have the money to install the technology.
Back in just a minute, we're talking with Michael Berger. More about this on the other side. Don't go anywhere. This is the Midnight Rider. If you'd like to talk with Michael, the number is 800-313-9443. That is 800-313-9443.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Today's energy infrastructure is antiquated and fails to meet the needs and demands of its customers. Our renewable energy solar program is the first to give you the opportunity to adopt green energy in your home without having to make a huge investment. Our renewable energy solar system converts sunlight directly into usable electricity, where utility power and net metering are available. Our grid-connected solar electric system is designed to produce 100% of the energy consumed by you throughout the year that is allowed by net metering laws. It's finally affordable to go solar. There's no system to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permanent hassles, no performance worries, and no rate increases. Reserve your system today. Call 866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. Or click on the web banner at RBN. Rethink solar and join the solution. Together, we can make a difference.
Attention RBN listeners who have trouble sleeping. If you have tried everything and still have serious problems getting a good night's sleep, then this message is going to be the single most important one you'll ever hear. And here's why. 77 RBN listeners are needed immediately to test a new alternative method of falling asleep fast. And the best part is, this new sleep system produces dramatic results when everything else has failed, including prescription sleeping pills. You see, it works in a whole new way, utilizing special sleep frequencies to almost command your brain to fall asleep fast. And it's easy to use. Yet, because the rules governing medicine in the U.S., no health or healing claims can be made for the sleep system. However, it's still legal to own this new high-speed sleep generator, and 77 RBN listeners are invited to use this system first, before the general public. So, if you're really having trouble falling asleep, simply go to www.highspeedsleep.com. That's highspeedsleep.com, or call 877-327-0365 and tell the operator you listen to RBN. Again, that's 877-327-0365.
Back here on the Midnight Rider here on the Republic Broadcasting Network, Mike has graciously agreed to stay with us an extra 15 minutes into the next hour as we're talking. As so often as likely, every time Michael and I get together and start talking, we just start rolling through stuff, and we can literally sit here all night long and talk about this stuff because it just leads you from one thing to the next. Before we run out of time, we've got about 4 minutes in this segment, Michael.
tell people about the radios that were used on the morning of 9/11 and just kind of give people kind of an overview of that and really what it meant.
Yeah, that's another one of these stories that kind of gets lost, although it did recently get a lot of coverage when the International Association of Firefighters, when their union put out a video about Giuliani, the story finally got some attention, which is that on 9/11, the fire department, the city of New York, were using radios that were well over a decade old. They were antiques, basically. And after the 1993 bombing, when the fire department learned that these radios don't work in high-rise office buildings, basically nobody did anything until early 2001. But what they did was basically they violated New York law. They illegally violated contract procurement law in the city. They had a contract with Motorola to replace existing radios as they broke or got old or wore out. And in order to purchase new ones, they were supposed to put it out for public bid, go through testing process, evaluation, et cetera. Rather than doing that, they basically cut it under the deal table with Motorola to purchase over 3,000 brand-new radios without disclosing how much they were paying for them. They were extremely expensive. And in addition to that, they didn't work, and they were never tested. In fact, there was a book written by a firefighter who was in charge of tactical training for the fire department, and another gentleman who he was given these radios to test. He told his bosses that the radios didn't work. Several weeks later, the fire commissioner, Von Essen, ordered these radios issued to the field, and within a few days, a firefighter got trapped in a house fire in Queens and would have died. He sent out 7 May Day messages. None of the people who were there with him outside the building heard his May Day messages, but another firehouse responding from a couple of miles away heard the messages, and when they got there, told the chief, "You have somebody trapped in the basement," asked if they had been aware of these May Day messages. They said no, and they did save the gentleman. And then the firefighters in the union put pressure on the commissioner to withdraw the radios. They were put in a warehouse. These antique radios were then redistributed to the firefighters, so that's what they wound up going into the towers with on 9/11. And as an extra piece on the Improbable Collapse DVD, I summarize basically this story with the interviews with them and also show some footage of the 9/11 commission hearings with Giuliani in the city with the family members screaming at Giuliani and the commissioners,
right?
Talk about Motorola, talk about the radios, talk about the contracts. They were never investigated. Nobody has ever been held accountable for this radio contract that cost the city somewhere between $10 and $30+ million. And then after 9/11, after Giuliani left the mayor's office in New York, he was actually a paid consultant for Motorola and was urging other cities as an expert in communications and emergency response. He was urging other cities to purchase these radios. A year later, after 9/11, in effect, Motorola discontinued this model, but not after they sold it to the Philadelphia Police Department, Washington, D.C., Phoenix, and to these other cities that spent upwards, in some cases, of $100 million for radios that don't work. And Motorola lied, basically, about the functionality of these radios. But there have never been consequences, and they've led to additional deaths of police and firefighters around the country.
Rudy's Ruse. Back in a minute with more with Michael Berger of 911truth.org and the movie Improbable Collapse. His website is improbablecollapse.com. You can pick up the DVD there. Back on the other side, our number 800-451 or 800-313-9443. Back in a minute.
It's true.